Okay, the way side, today's daf is daf Ayin Gimel. We're holding on Ayin Beis, Amid Beis, the last two lines. Tana Rabbanan, Ger Noisei Mamzeres. A Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeres. Even though it says in the Pasuk, Lo Yovei Mamzer Bekal Hashem, this man, the Yomer, as we'll see shortly, holds Kahal Gerim Lo Ikri Kohol. This is not intended in any way, shape, or form to look down upon the Gerim in any negative way. All we're saying is that the magic terms Kahal Hashem, which do not appear often in the Torah, it only appears a couple of times, as we'll see, this is therefore a reference to those that were born Jews, as opposed to the Gerim that have joined the ranks of Klal Yisrael. So the Isser of the Yovim Mamzer doesn't say the Yovim Mamzer Yisraelim, that Al Tischatin im Mamzer. In fact, it says Bekal Hashem, Rabbi Yossi holds it means only the Kaal of born Jews, as opposed to Tzigi Kimna, as opposed to Gerim that have joined the ranks of Klal Yisrael. So a Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeres. Now, one might have thought, oh, so this is a wonderful Eitzah to be able to go once again for Mamzerim or Mamzeros to go and clean their lineage, just like we had a few days ago, vis-a-vis a Mamzer that can marry a Shivcha, that the children will be Avodim, they'll be able to Meshachra them. So you might think the same thing over here. Says Rashi very clearly, no, I'm afraid not. It's only a heter of getting married. The Mamzeres Nebuch is stuck. She doesn't have too many opportunities. She can go and marry a Ger. However, the child, unfortunately, will be a Mamzer or a Mamzeres, respectively. It's a boy or a girl. So you've been able to satisfy the need of these people to get married, but you have not been able to clean the lineage, even though a Ger is allowed to marry Mamzeres.
There's no incentive for a Ger to marry a Mamzeres.
The incentive is because otherwise, again, that's true. In other words, a Ger can go and marry a million other people.
Right. 100%. And also not cut off the lineage.
What you're saying is 100% correct. This is not in any way, shape, or form a benefit for the Ger, except that he's going to get married, hopefully, to a wonderful young lady. But this is a benefit to the Mamzeres, that she is not totally shunned from marrying anyone. She can marry a Ger.
First both ways, Gerus can marry a Mamzer.
Can a Giyoris marry a Mamzer? The answer is yes, and we'll see shortly in the next few words in the Braisa that when we talk about ladies, it's always a little bit more kal than it is legabi the men. We'll see in a moment. So Ger Noyis Mamzeres, the verb Yosef Yehuda Omer Ger Loyis Mamzeres. A Ger is not allowed to marry a Mamzeres because he holds LeYovi Mamzer B'Kal Hashem that Kahal Gerim Ikri Kohol, and that they're the same, just like all other Jews. So not allowed to marry Mamzeres. Nevertheless, now this is halacha number two in the same braisa. Echad ger, echad eved meshuchar, v'chalal mutarim bekoyhenes. What does that mean? We know it says in Parshas Emor that Emor kahana b'nei Aaron, and then you have the isha zoyna v'chalal lo yikachu, the isha grusha meisha lo yikachu, ki kodesh hu lelekach, which means that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalala, or a Zoyna, or a Grusha. What about the other way around? What happens if you have a Kohenes? Does she have the same issues? Now, a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Yoyris, or a Shifcha Mishuchraris. What's the reason? Why? Because we assume that they were Zoynas. Zoynas meaning that they lived with other people when they were still Goyim, and therefore they have a din of a Zayna, and even if they're not professional Zaynas, just the fact that they lived with someone, a Kohen is not allowed to go and marry them. On the other hand, what happens if you have a Kohenes? Can she marry a Ger? And the answer is yes. And she can marry an Eved Meshuchar, yes. And even though a Kohen cannot marry a Chalala, a Kohenes can marry a Chalal. And that's what our Bryce is telling us, that the halachas that apply to Kohanim, not marrying Psisulois, does not apply to a Kohenes. She's allowed to marry these Psisulim. Not that a Ger is a Apostle Chas V'Shalom, but the fact that vis-a-vis a Kohen cannot marry a Geoides, a Kohenes is allowed to marry a Ger. Echad Ger, Echad Ev Shukhar, Chol Mutar Mekohenes. Now, The second part is Echad Ger, Echad HaMashuchah, we're going to deal with in another few minutes. In the meantime, we focus on the beginning of the Braisa. Why does Rabbi Yossi say that a ger is allowed to marry a mamzer? Says Yimar, because chamisha kaholi ksivi. When you look in the parasha of Aroyis, you'll find five times that the Torah uses the term kahal or kohol. Where do you have those five? So Rashi down below, the last two lines quotes the various psukim. You have two by mamzer. Says layovi mamzer bekal Hashem. Then the pasuk continues on. Ador yasir liyovei loy bekal Hashem ad oylam. So it uses the expression liyovei mamzer bekal Hashem, and then it says that the liyovei loy bekal ad oylam. You have two times. Then you have by yamoni liyavi liyovei yamoni liyavi bekal Hashem, and then ador yasir liyovei lahem bekal Hashem. So you have over there also twice, two times kohol by yamoni liyavi, and finally you have by the mitzvah adoymi. Dor shlishi yovelam. It's in the pasuk. The society of Adoyimi ki achichu. The society of Mitzri ki kera yisur be'aretzoy. Panam ashi yivoldu lehem. Dor shlishi yovelam bekal Hashem. After there too, it says the term kahal. So you have five times kahal. And as the Gemara says at the top of the Omid, that the choyer you could have merged all of them and said, "Rabbi Yisai, kahal Hashem is so holy. Don't allow for a mamzer. Don't allow for an amoni mayavi. Don't allow for mitzvah adoimi until the third generation." And therefore, we could have used the term kol once instead of five times. So why do we use it five times? And Rashi points out it's another kol by Petzua Daka, but that is not of the same genre as the first five, because the first five are talking about Psula Yichus, and that is it. That's because Psula Daka, because he has a particular muk, a physical situation. Anyway, so getting back to the bottom of Ayin Beis, Amit Beis, my time with Rabbi Yossi, Chamisha Kol Iksiv, it says five times the word Kol. So what do I learn from those five? The first three I learned Legabi Isur, Chal Kehan, Chal Levim, Chal Yisrael. Meaning that if it only says Lamashal, Layova Mamzer Bekal Hashem, since Kal Hashem, if it was only used one time in the Torah, that's it. I would say maybe it only applies to Kehanim, because Rebulhem Mitzvah Yisrael. We know that the Kehanim are different than the Levim and Yisrael. And we have all of those other prohibitions. They're not allowed to marry a Chalola, they're not allowed to marry a Zayda, they're not allowed to marry a Grusha. So they're not allowed to marry a Mamzer. But maybe this doesn't apply to Leviim and Yisraelim, so that's why you have to have one for Koyin, and then you have to have a second one for Leviim, and then a third one for Yisraelim. Oh, so now we've covered three out of the five. What do I do with the other two remaining? Instead of using those as prohibitions, Yisurim, I use those as Heterim. What's the Heter? V'chad l'mishri mamzer b'shtuki, v'chad l'mishri shtuki b'Yisrael. We already had shtuki in our Mishnah, and we're going to talk about it at great length later on in today's Omer Aleph. What is a shtuki? Shtuki means that a mommy who has a baby, she's walking with, that's already not a baby anymore, the child is already 3, 4, 5 years old, and the child goes to cheder, he comes back from cheder, he says, "Mommy, how come everybody else in class has a tati? Where's my tati?" And she says, "Shh, shh, don't talk about it." Which means that we do not know who the father is, and maybe even she doesn't know who the father is. In other words, if she unfortunately was living a life where she was living with multiple men, she may not even know which one of the men caused her to become pregnant and who's the father. We know who the mother is, we just don't know who the father is. That's what we call a shtuki, because she said, "Cha, don't talk about it, you know, it's a private thing, confidential, we'll talk about it 100 years from now." So that's the definition of a shtuki. So now our Gemara says, what happens if a shtuki who is a sofik mamzer, because Rashi says down below, typically a shtuki's mother was a pnuya, and therefore we don't know what the situation is. She's a shab. So if she was an ashes ish, and we don't know who the father is, then that would be a vade mamzer. I mean, if it's from her husband, we know who the husband is, and there's no question about it. So if she's a married woman, for instance, and Moro will give an example later on, that the husband is away in Europe for 6 months, and she becomes pregnant all of a sudden, then you know that that child is a mamzer. I mean, how did the woman become pregnant if her husband's away for the last 6 months or 9 months or whatever?
Like a flying carpet.
Yeah, exactly.
There is immaculate
conception. Only one guy in history, and it's not so clear that that's what happened with him either. Okay, anyway.
But a flying carpet, the Gemara brings down that, doesn't it? Bring that,
In other occasions, but not another Gabi Yichas over here.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, it's V'chad L'mishri Mamzer B'shtuki, that although it says L'yovi Mamzer B'kal Hashem, a Mamzer is allowed to go with a Shtuki, and the Gemara is going to call it later. The reason is because B'kal Vade Asa Rachmana V'loi B'kal Safik. And this Kahal, the Mamzer, wants to go and marry a Shtuki. I don't know if this is a Vade Dika Kahal, meaning a Kosher. Maybe that individual, that woman, happens to be herself a Mamzer. So that's Liyav Mamzer B'kal Hashem B'kal Vaday V'loy B'kal Safik, and the other way around too. B'chal Mishri Shtuki B'Yisrael, that although it says in the pasuk that you're not allowed to go and marry Liyav Mamzer, Mamzer Vaday Liyav B'kal Hashem, but Mamzer Safik Shtuki is allowed to come B'kal Hashem. So that's why I have the two Kahal Hashems, five altogether, three Koyet Leib Yisrael, and the other two to go and tell the Satanim, Mamzer allowed to marry Shtuki, and Shtuki is allowed to marry a Yisrael. Our Mishnah, by the way, said that a Shtuki is not allowed to marry a Yisrael. And our Gemara is going to say down below, Rav is going to say, Men HaToyra, a Shtuki is allowed to marry Yisrael. It's only Derabbanan that he's not allowed to marry Yisrael, because a Mala Osu B'Yachsen. We'll see that later on the Omer Aleph down the bottom. So far we have Rav Yoisi. And since we used up all five for the aforementioned purposes, Kal Gerim Likri Kol, so I don't have an extra kol to add Gerim. Meaning, had there been six altogether, I'd say Chad the Koyin, Chad the Levi, Chad the Yisrael, Chad the Gerim, and the other two, three Matir, Mamdi Vishtuki, Shtuki Vishtuki. But since I don't have that extra six, what? Kal Gerim Likri Kol. Now, Rabbi Yehuda starts off the same way, and he says, Rabbi Yehuda, I agree that there are five. However, Kayanam Levi Mechad Kol Nafki. Kohanim and Levi and Leviim can all be learned from the first Kahal Hashem. I don't need a separate Kohol for Leviim. So you're wondering, why not? Because after all, didn't we say before the Kohanim have more mitzvahs legabe marriage than Leviim? Leviim have no problem. A Levi is allowed to go and marry a Gerusha. A Levi is allowed to marry a Chalola. A Levi is allowed to marry a Zoyna. It's only a Kohen that's prohibited. So why would you say the Kohanim and Leviim go together Mechad Kohol? Says Rashi, because if you're talking about kol, kol is a synonym for the word shevet. Kehanim and Leviim both come from one shevet. To go and say that I need two words shevet, or two words kol, to split it up between Kehanim and Leviim, not mistaver, there's a kol of Leviim, which includes Kehanim and Leviim, one shevet here. Okay.
So don't we need something like lo yavo, amoni, b'kal Hashem?
Yeah.
Don't we need legufo?
No, a good question. So Rashi at the top says we could have packaged them all together. If you look at the top Rashi, Chavakan, Minhavalim Lichter, the Kulu, the Choda, Asara, the Chad Kol, it could have said, Vayov, Vaymamzer, Amoimim, Vayavi, as well as Dor Shlishi of the Mitzvah, Doim, Mekal Hashem. So we could have used the term Kol one time. We didn't have to split it up each time. Put together all of these psulim into one parsec, all one kalash. Getting to Narav Yudis, he said, Kahanim Levim Echad Kohol Nafki, since I use one kohol for the Kahanim Levim, so I have one kohol, which is now extra, Ayatale the kohol, the kahal gerim. So that fifth one is in fact for kahal gerim, the kahal gerim ikri kohol. So I have now one kohol, the Kahanim Levim, one kohol for Yisraelim, one for Gerim, and then the other two to be Mater, Mamzer B'Shtuki, and Shtuki B'Yisra. The way you say, or I have another pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. Hachanami Trei Koholi Ninu. Aitaka have two kohols. Mamzer B'Shtuki, Shtuki B'Yisra, Mechad Kol Nafka. Meaning, that will stay with what we thought originally. Koyin has one, Levi has one, Yisrael has one. But instead of saying, I need two to be Matir, the Mamzer B'Shtuki and Shtuki B'Yisrael, they only really need one for that. Why? Because Mamzer B'Shtuki and Shtuki B'Yisrael, Mechad Kol Nafka. How do I learn it? Like we spoke out before. Lo Yavo Mamzer B'Kal Hashem. Mamzer Vaday, Hu De Lo Yavoi. Mamzer Vaday is not allowed to marry a Yisrael, Yisraelis. Or Mamzer Safik, Yavo B'Kal Mamzer Safik, May. What's a Mamzer Safik? That's the Shtuki. Ah, so Shtuki can go and marry a Yisrael. Yisrael. This. Now we say vade. Vade hu de lo yavoy. I'm sorry. I went one word too many. Starting again. Mechad kol nachle. Lo yavoy mamzer kal Hashem. Mamzer vade hu de lo yavoy. Ha mamzer sofik yavoy. Period. Kahal vade hu de lo yavoy. Kahal vade lo yavoy means that you cannot have a mamzer entering into vade kol vade ksherim. The Kahal Sofik Yavoy, but he's allowed to go and marry a Shtuki or Shtukis, which is not a Kahal Hashem. He or she has already a cloud over their Yichus, because it's a Shtuki, which is a Sofik Mamzer. So therefore, from the same Pasuk, I can learn both. I can learn both the Shtuki can marry the Mamzer, and the Shtuki can go and marry the Yisra.
Question.
Yes, ma'am.
The Shtuki itself is also, can be a Yid also. How do we learn in the Sofik the Yisrael to marry a Mamzer?
How do you allow a Sufik? In other words, how do you allow a Shtuki to marry a Mamzer?
Right.
That's how he's dashing the Pasuk. He's saying, since the Pasuk doesn't say a Mamzer, now let him marry a Yid. Just not allowed to go and enter the Kahal Hashem. See, Morris says, what is Kahal Hashem for these purposes? A Kohol Vaday Ikriko. Once that person is a Kohol Sufik, not Kohol Sufik, the person may be a Yid and not a Yid. A Vaday person is a Yid, but the God be his Yichus. If that happens to be clouded, then that's already considered to be kol sofik for these purposes.
Does the shtuki category continue in the lineage?
Yes, if a shtuki marries somebody else, the child will also be a shtuki. We're going to talk about that later on. Yes?
You know, what is the answer to Kahal?
What do you mean, what's the answer to Kahal?
What's the meaning of uncertain Kahal?
What's the definition of the word Kahal?
Uncertain call
means a shtuki. That I do not know that he. The word call over here doesn't just mean the congregation of Hashem. It means the kosher congregation of Hashem. So the shtuki is a suffix whether he's a member of the kosher congregation. When we say kosher congregation,
the congregation is
a suffix,
I see.
Okay. No problem. V'boy say menachem chat. Hami nami trei kaholi nino. Even these two, we also needed separate kohols, meaning one to tell us that a mamzer is allowed to go marry shtuki, another two that a shtuki is allowed to marry bekal. The time of Rabbi Yehuda meyacha, how did Rabbi Yehuda know that kahal gave him ikri kohol? Because I have another pasuk, ha kohol huka achas lechem v'lager hagar. Oh, see, we have in the same pasuk we are combining the term kohol and ger, and therefore we're saying it's a hekesh that the kohol includes gerim. Sure, so kal gim ikri kol. So the chayyur viewed as a good point. Rabbi Yosi chuka achas hifziko inyon. If we would go and say hakohol ger hagar chuka achas lachem, we would start off the pasuk chuka achas lachem the kol hakol v'ger hagar. Then you'd be right. The fact that it says chuka achas lachem in the middle shows that there is a differentiation between kohol of born Jews and gerim that came in late. Okay, so with this we have concluded the original machloikis between Rabbi Yosi and Bihuda and the Braisa, and now we go on to the second case, the Sefer. What was the Sefer? More could have added, I guess, Omamar. Echad ger v'yechad ev meshuchar v'cholol mutorim v'koyhenes. Sayu l'rav. Tev Rabbi Yehuda omarav. Le'huzru k'sheiros li nosei lepsul. Although a kosher, meaning a koyin kosher, is not allowed to marry psulois, like the chalola zoina grusha. However, the ksherois, meaning the ladies meaning a bas koyin, is not prohibited from marrying any one of the aforementioned, marrying a ger or an eved mishuchra, even though a koyin is not allowed to marry a giyoris or a shifcha mishuchreres, because of her reputation, the assumption is that she has the status of a zoina, that she lived with another goy, with another man, and so therefore prohibited to the kohen. However, the kohenes is allowed to go marry a ger and an eved mishuchra, and same thing legabe a chalala. A kohen is not allowed to marry a chalala. However, a kohenes is allowed to marry a chalala. So that's what Rav said, and that we have now support for that from this pricing. Now the Gemara tells us an interesting story. It tells us Dorish Reb Zeira bin Mechoyza. Reb Zeira darshened in Mechoyza. And you'll recall we said yesterday Mechoyza was not within the city limits of Babel. It was a little bit removed. Anyway, so what did Reb Zeira say? Not the city limits, but the region of Babel. Dorish of Zera b'machoisa, ger mutzim b'mamzeres. A ger is allowed to go and marry a mamzeres. In other words, he learned just like Rabbi Yossi said in the beginning of the Brisa, ger nois a mamzeres. Now, what the Gemara has not told us yet, but as we'll see momentarily, in Machoisa they were allowed a lot of gerim. When they heard Reb Zeira making this drasha, they were not happy, because that suggests that they are not part of the real Kahal Hashem. They are, in other words, second-rate, third-rate Jews, not on the same level as the from birth, not from birth, but the born Jews. It says the Gemara, Ragmu Kuli Alma Esregayu. All of them took their sroigim and they threw it at Reb Zeira, that they were angry with Reb Zeira to give such a drasha. Omer Rava, the Gemara tells us that Rava was the Rav in Mechoizah, not today, but in other places Rava was the Rav in Mechoizah. So Rava said, the Ika the Dorish Milza Kihai, the Duchta the Shechichi Giuri. Yeah, Reb Zeira, you could have used a little bit more, whatever, instead of giving such a drasha in front of all of these Gerim. You're not going to garner any great love and affection from the locals by telling them, oh, I got good news for you, all of you Gerim. You're second-class citizens, you're all allowed to go and marry Mamzeirois. So what did you think? Of course they're going to go and throw Esrayim. So what did Rava do instead? Dorish Rava, b'mechoizim, the same city of Mechoizim, ger mutzim b'koyhenes, that a ger is allowed to go and marry a baskoyin. A ger is allowed to go and marry a baskoyin, so tomorrow, tuanu b'shiroi, they now took him and they clothed him with beautiful silk garments. They bought for him a beautiful bekesh or a yibitza, maybe with a shtramel as well, to go and show, oh, this is wonderful. What you're telling us is that Gerim are on the highest madrega, they can even marry a Paskoyan. After that, Hadadorishlu, and then he said the second drasha of Reb Zeira, that Gerim mutzim mamzeres, and Gerim is allowed to marry mamzeres. So why did Rava do this? Because Rava wanted to cushion that second halacha. That's the one that caused everybody to throw this sroigim. He figured, first he'll say, oh, Gerim are the most, the highest esteem, triple A Jews, they're the highest, they can marry even a Baskoyan. So they'll really be so happy, and that's why they gave him these beautiful silk garments. He said, and by the way, also Gerim mutim mamzer. So he cushioned this halacha. Relay, and they responded, Afsinatil the Kamaisa, you lost all of your goodwill that you established with your first drasha, as well as you lost your silken garments. Presumably they wanted to go and take it back. Amalhus, Rabbi said, no, listen carefully. The Tavulachu Abdilachu, I'm doing you two toivis. Iboimi hachanasib. What I'm doing is I'm telling you that the doors are open for Gerim. You can marry virtually everybody and anybody. Me, a regular Jew, says Rava, I could not marry a mamzeres. I'm prohibited. But you guys, Gerim, you have the benefit that you can go marry anyone. You can marry Baskoyans, people of the highest yichas, and you can even marry mamzeres. And therefore, that's how we cushion this halach. The ilchas halach al-maisa is ger mutim b'kohenes. A ger is allowed to marry a kohenes. Mutim mamzeres, like we just said. Like we said, only a kohen is not allowed to go and marry a chalol and a kazoinim and a grusha. This doesn't apply to the bas kohen. Like Rabbi Yosi said, because kal gerim loy ikri kol. So in fact, if one has chas hashom mamzer mamzeres, what's the eitzah to be able to get married? You can't marry into kal hashem. So we had one eitzah back in Daf Samach Tes to go and marry a shifcha, and here too you can go and marry a ger, but bear in mind that there's a major difference. In the case of marrying the shifcha, you can free afterwards the avodim or shvachis that are born and make them into full-fledged Jews, and they will not have any taint of mamzeres. Unfortunately over here, if a ger marries a mamzeres, then the child will be a mamzer or mamzeres. So our Mishnah said that a shtuki is not allowed to marry a Yisrael. A shtuki is allowed to marry a ger. Mamzer or mamzer. Our Mishnah didn't deal with the ger that we just had now. Shkoyach. But the Mishnah says that a shtuki is also to go and marry a Yisrael. Minatoyre shtuki may marry a Bas Yisrael, may marry a Yisrael. So my time, but what's the reason why? Says, let's make a very simple cheshbon. Roiv Ksherim Etzla, Humniyat Psulim Etzla. Rashi says once again, we're referring to a Penuya. Penuya means a girl who is single. As far as this girl that is single, what are the number of people that are kosher? What are the number of people that are not kosher? Roiv Ksherim Etzla. Every single Jew in Klal Yisrael is roi to go and marry this Penuya, except for, number one, those that are mamzerises, or mamzers, as well as kroivim, right? The person now that go and marry a karev, a sister, an aunt, etc. So, but hopefully that's only a very small number. A regular bocher, a regular meidel, can go and marry up to 10 million other Jews, Baruch Hashem. Just there are a few of them. You can't go marry mamzer and mamzer. True. You can't go marry kroivim. Okay, so put all those together. 50 people I cannot marry, but I can marry 10 million. So my time the roiv kshedim etzla. Virtually everybody is mutter to this girl. Right? The girl that has this child who's a shtuki. Well, me, there's only a small percentage of psulim etzla. The azli, inu, so therefore, if you're going basar roiv, then you assume that the child is kosher. The azli inu ligaba. And if we are going towards her, then we have that famous rule called the parish meruba parish. Anybody that leaves the general category and goes to a particular place is leaving the roiv. So in all likelihood, she's marrying one of the roiv. My amrus, maybe you're telling me duma azla ila gabayu. Maybe she went to them to get married. Havle kavua kol kavua kemechzal machzadami. Where the roiv is, they are kavua because she's going to them. And by kavua, we say kemechzal machzadami is 50-50. So you say 50-50, so how can she go and get married? Va'atayra omer lo yovay mamzer. Mamzer vade hudlo yovay. Ha mamzer safik yovay. A vade mamzer is not allowed to come to Kal Hashem, but a safik mamzer is allowed to come to Kal Hashem. Bekal vade hudlo yovay. A mamzer is not allowed to enter into a kal vade, meaning a kohol of vade sheirim, ha bekol safik yovay. However, if the kol that we're defining is itself sfeikim, meaning that you're talking about shtukis, then you're allowed to go and marry. So kum techois, says Rava, min ha-toira, a shtuki is allowed to marry the ranks of Klal Yisrael, because the Torah only asks a mamzer vadei hudala yovei. Since a shtuki, I don't really know, and in all likelihood, the shtuki is a kosher child, because I'll be right. Yeah, called kavur kimechzal mechzadami maskev, but the Torah only asks mamzer vadei, and there's a suffix mamzer, so min ha Torah, a shtuki can go and marry Yisrael, Yisrael can marry a shtuki, no problem. Matam Omer, why does our Mishnah say that a shtuki is possible? Not min ha Torah. Midrabanan. Kzeira Shema Yisa, Achoisoi Me Oviv. I'm afraid by Yishtuki that he might go and marry his own sister. What does that mean? We have a woman who's walking down the street, a Penuya, a girl, whatever, and she is walking together with her 5-year-old child. The child is saying, "Where's Tati? Where's my father? Shh, shh, shh. Don't ask any questions." Okay, so we don't know what the status is of this child. To suffix mamzer. Fine. Now says the Gemara, obviously this kid has a father somewhere. Let's assume now that that father, after having lived together with this girl, a year later, he found a good shidduch and he got married, Baruch Hashem. And he had Baruch Hashem, a maidala, a daughter from that shidduch. Good. So now this, fast forward 20 years later, the shtuki wants to get married, and this girl wants to get married. And we just said a shtuki is allowed to go and marry Yisrael, or Yisraelis. Okay, so then they make a shidduch of the two. The Gemara says, Omer Rav Advatar Yishtuki Kosher. The shtuki might marry this girl, and guess what? The girl's father and the shtuki's father might be the same individual. So what's so terrible about that? Because if it's the father of both, then they have to be brother and sister. Right? The shtuki is the son of this unknown father, but maybe that unknown father happens to be the father of the girl. And if the father of the girl that he wants to marry, he's allowed to marry the girl. But if it turns out that it's his sister, then of course it's Aser. That's why in the Rabbanim they said, Shtuki Pasal to Gzeira Shem Yisa Choysoi Mei. Oh, great mother Meata. Shtuki Shtuki is by Yisa. Shem Yisa Choysoi Mei Yavut. You have the same issue over there. What happens if you have two ladies that are going with their children in the street. And each case, each one of the ladies does not have a husband. And we're wondering, who's the husband of that? I don't know who the husband is. Maybe she herself doesn't know who's the one that caused her to become pregnant. But the point is, you have now a girl who's ishtukis, and you have a boy who's ishtuki. 20 years later, they think to themselves, hey, I got a great idea. It's not easy to go and find a shidduch for a shtuki ishtukis. Let them marry each other. Says Yomar, but I have a problem. Maybe the ishtukis' father was Yankel Smith. Maybe the shtuki's father was Yankel Smith. And Yankel Smith both lived with Spritzer and with Gnendel. And one he had a shtukis, one he had a shtuki, and now once again, Shami Yisa Achoisoy Me'ovim, same issue. Yet our Mishnah says that even the Drabbanan, a shtuki and a shtuki can go and get married. So to my Koki Ay Mizani, Koki Hani, Mizani the Azli. Sting Morris says, are we going to attribute every single shtuki in town to the same individual? In other words, there are unfortunately men that have a tremendous taiva, and they can go and cause a penuya to become pregnant, but are we going to attribute every single illicit pregnancy in town to the same individual? Presumably there are another couple of chevra like that, so we're not going to package them all and say every single suffix here in town is probably from the same father. So that's why shtuki somebody. I'm afraid tomorrow. Bashtukis lo yisa. We should go and say that a shtuki should not be able to marry a bas shtukis. Why? Shemi yisa achoisa miyavim. The same concern that he might go and marry achoisa miyavim. Now, how do you have a shtuki marrying a bas shtukis? You could have over here a bas shtukis, a daughter of a shtukis that married a kosher yisra. Remember, we said according to Rava Dvar Torah, a shtukis is allowed to marry yisra. B'drabani you're not allowed to. But Minotaur is permissible. So therefore, Shtukis married a Yisrael, wonderful chasen, beautiful, and they had a daughter, and that daughter is the Bash Shtukis, and she has the same status like her mother, the same type of suffix, Mamzer. Okay, so that is the father, a legitimate father. Perhaps earlier or later, this father also lived with a Pnuya and produced this Shtuki that we're talking about. So the Shtuki that we have now from this father and the Pnuya, this shtuki is now going to be suggested years later for the bas shtukis. Frey to Gemara, we should go and say that in lo yisi he shouldn't be able to go and marry because shem yisa achoyis miyavet. How is it achoyis miyavet? Because the bas shtukis, guess who the father is that married the shtukis? That's the yisra. He married her beheter. No, there was no issa. Fine. But that same father also produced a shtuki because he lived together with a penuya in town. Now you have a boy from one, a girl from the other. They're going to marry together. It might be a chois and yop. We just said a moment ago, kokihani, mazni, v'azli. Are we going to attribute and allocate every single forbidden illicit relationship to this particular man? Here there was only one illicit relationship. That he lived together with the penuya. But that he lived together, that he married the shtukis, that was permissible. And therefore, says the Gemara, no. So we still have a situation of possibly ochid v'achoyser, achoyser, shema yisa, achoyser mi'avim. So t'mor eloi shchicha. Truth of the matter is, it's highly unlikely that when we're going to read a shidduch, that the shtukim and the shtukis, or the shtukim and the bas shtukis, have the same father. It's an unlikely situation. And so therefore, in the earlier question that you asked about the shtuki and the shtukis, it's also unlikely. Of course, it's possible. But to go and say that all of these things, Rashi says, even a shtuki itself is a mitzvah lo shchicha. How often do you find that you have a little boy who we know who the mother is, we don't know who the father is? It's not a daily occurrence. It's not that it could not happen, but it doesn't happen on a regular basis. It's a mitzvah l'shchicha because of a rabbanan, and that's why a shtuki can marry a shtukis, and a shtuki can marry a bas shtukis, even though theoretically you could have ochid v'achoisai, but it's unlikely. So Tumar says, what's the reason? The mala also be yosin. Bush, they made a mala, since we're talking about yichas, we want the yichas of Klal Yisrael to be as clean and pure and refined as possible. Therefore they said, you know what, even though Minatoy the Shtuki is allowed to go marry Yisrael, stay away from Shtukis. We want that the yichas should be as pure as possible. And now we're going to have the same discussion in the Gemara, virtually word for word, about an Asufi. Remember, an Asufi is a child that was fetched from the police station or from the fire station, where one morning the police arrive at the police station, or one morning a person goes in the subway and he finds in one of the cars that there's a little child who's crying and is bundled up in a blanket, and we're wondering who's the father, who's the mother, and nobody has a clue, since that child is Nesaf Min Hashuk. That's how it gets the name Asufi. So once again, it's a Safi Mamzer. The Gemara is going to say later on, maybe it's talking about a family that was very, very poor. They already had 12 kids, and they can no longer afford a 13th mouth. They just don't have enough money. So therefore, they put in train station, figuring that there's going to be some person who will have Rachmanis and will take this job. So it doesn't have to be a mamzer, but of course, it could be a mamzer. So we have a Sufi kashim, and a Sufi is allowed to go and marry a Bas Yisrael, because once again, it's only a Sufi mamzer. My timer. Because Eishes Ish the Bala Torah. Normally, this child, who was the mother, who was the father? If the mother was an Eishes Ish, and she has this child, why should she leave him in the train station? After all, everybody will assume, even if she was Mizana, she will say, well, what are you talking about? This is from my husband. You know that I'm married. My husband's down in shul, he's living in the bath. He's the father of the kid. What's the shayla? So why would she go and leave this child in the train station? My ikka, what are you going to tell me? It could be a miut arusois, or miut shaholach ba'alei medina sayom. You have a small percentage of married ladies that are not nisuois, that are only arusois, and therefore they have no business living with a man, even their arus, and therefore she's embarrassed. Can you imagine she's going to be at the chasana, and the Nisuan, and she's going to be visibly pregnant, and people say, Kala, how are you pregnant? You married the Orus a few months ago, you weren't allowed to live with the Orus, what's going on, why are you pregnant? Oh, so therefore she said, I'll take away the evidence. She waited until her pregnancy ended, she took the baby, put it in the train station. Ah, so that could be a Mita Rusas. It could be a Mita Shehalach Labalei Medina Sayyam. You can also have a situation, you have a married lady, that her husband went away for an extensive business trip for 6 months, for a year. How did she have a child in the meantime? And so we heard from Brother Shai before, maybe on a magic carpet, what was your... Well, anyway, but the Gemara assumes that that's unlikely, and therefore, how did she become pregnant? Apparently from somebody else. So the kid is a mamzer, and that's why she put him in the train station. So you're telling me, it sounds like that this is a strong likelihood this is a mamzer. Oh, however, sometimes you have single girls that become pregnant, and they don't want to advertise that for the whole world, because after all, who's going to want to go and marry a single girl that's pregnant? So therefore, they wait until the pregnancy is over, and then they put the kid in the train station. I didn't know anything about it. So that child, although it's not Nishka Grace Tzadik, or at least the Yichus is not pure, but nevertheless, it's not a mamzer. Also those people that leave their children in train stations. Why? Because Nebuch, they're too famished. It's talking a time of famine. There's no food available, and therefore they figured somebody else will have rachmanis. So have a palgo palga. So the possibilities that this is a mamzer is half. The possibility that it's a kosher child is half. But Torah Omer, and therefore we have the same pasuk that we had before. Layav a mamzer bekalish a mamzer vadehu de layavay. If I know for sure that he's a mamzer, layavay. A mamzer safik yavay. This asufi is just a safik mamzer. Maybe he's a mamzer, maybe he's not a mamzer. Bekal vadehu de layavay. A kal vadeh of ksherim he's not allowed to marry. A bekal safik yavay. But a sufi is allowed to go marry a kal safik, meaning another Asufi, or a mamzer is allowed to go marry an Asufi, because it's only a Sufik call, it's not Vadik call. Again, we don't mean call of Yidin, we're talking about Yidin over here, but it's a Sufik call of Kshayim. So Ma'atam Amu Asufi Pasul, so why is Asufi Pasul? You're telling me based on the Pasul, it's Mutter. Shemiyisa Choysim Yodav, like we said before, maybe she's going to go and marry her brother, or the brother's going to marry his sister. If that's the case, Asufi Asufi is like Yisra Shem Yisra Choyse Ben the Ovid Ben the Imai, the same Chajman that we made before. And again, the Gemara says the same Teretz. Kolhani Shodi Va'azli. Are you going to go and throw all Sveikis on one individual and say he was Mazana here and he's Mazana there? and all these Asufi and Asufis, these are all brothers and sisters, unlikely. Like the Gemara asked before, what's the answer? All of this is unlikely. It's possible, but unlikely. And Rashi says that anytime you're talking about a suffering mamzer is an unlikely situation generally. So why did the Chacham say that a Shtukfi Nasufi is not allowed to marry a kosher? Malos and Biyachsun, they made a special din of a mala because we want the Yichas of Klal Yisrael to be as pure as possible. Now, from here, for most of the next Amud, the Gemara is going to say you can also have circumstantial evidence showing whether this child is a mamzer or not. What's the circumstantial evidence? If a mother feels that the child is a mamzer, she doesn't want to have anything to do with this child. She takes the child, sometimes with the umbilical cord still attached, still all with all the body juices and all the blood all over it, puts it in the train station. On the other hand, there's another mother that really cares for this baby but cannot deal with the baby because she doesn't have enough money, she doesn't have enough space in her apartment, whatever. So the Gemara is going to now make those distinctions. What happens if we find the case of the baby in the train station already had a bris milah? In other words, the child was already more than 8 days old and had a bris. He does not have a din of a safek mamzer. Why, says Rashi? Because if he was not kosher, the mommy would say, "Mali the tzar hazoi." So, well, why am I even bothering myself with this kid? Let the kid, let somebody else worry about a bris. Mishalti hardome. Rashi has two pshatim. The first pshat of Mishalti Adama means, says Rashi in the second line, a vor of misukonim umiyushar. When babies are born, very few of you have actually witnessed a baby coming out of the mommy's womb, but of course the fetus is doubled over, and to cause that the avorim, that all the limbs should all grow normally, after they go and wash the baby, one of the first things they do is they put around them a tight sheet and blanket, keeping the feet and the arms nicely stretched out, extended the way they're supposed to be, and not to fold it up, so that they should have normal limbs as they develop and grow up. So if you see Mishalti Demei, you could tell that the baby is nicely packaged with the arms and legs nicely extended the way they're supposed to be. Anyway, Mishim Sufi, that's a Mishkara Sufi. Shayef Mishcha, if you could tell that they went and wiped and or smeared the baby's body with shemen, with oil. Umali Kukla, if you see that they put eye ointment or eye cosmetics around the eyes. Or Rami Chumri, Tali Piska, Tali Kmeya, what happens if around the neck of this child they put Chumri? Rashi says Chumri are Ksharim, Sha'oisim Lirafua, some sort of medical device. Or Tali Piska, says Rashi, a Kmeya Shul Ksav, a Kmeya written out with words in it. Or Tali Kmeya, this Kmeya, says Rashi, means Shul Ikrin, means various vegetables or herbs that they put around the neck. Anybody Mishamasufi, the fact that they went to the trouble to go and get a kameya and put it around the neck and all these things, or to go and wipe him down with nice baby lotion, baby oil, or to go and put eye ointment in the eyes and all the rest, shows that they really cared for this child and it's not a mamzer after all. Imatulay. Oh, next case. Totally bedikli. What happens when they said they didn't have any train stations and therefore they took the baby, put it in a sal, in a basket, and put the basket on the branch of a tree. Imagine chaya, if it was low enough that a chaya, bear or lion, whatever, can go and reach that branch, reach that child, then yeshua mishamasufi, then it's not a safi mamzer. Imlav, however, if they took a ladder and they put it all the way to the top of the tree, so the chaya can get to it, ain't mishamasufi. They're trying to protect this child. So it's not necessary. Zardis smicha lamasa yeshva mishamasufi. Zardis, says Rashi, is a special type of tree. Tree, ilan chishmoy zardisa, Rashi says sholrir balaz, and I think the English said that it's a sorb tree, S-O-R-B. Not exactly sure what a sorb is, but maybe some of you know that. Somebody else is going to go and take out a Wikipedia and look up what a sorb is. Anyway, but the point is, this type of tree, the Gemara says in Psachim, that unfortunately this was a tree that attracted the Shaitan, the Shindalit. If you look at Rashi, smack in the middle of the Omid, Zardis of the Smicha Lamasa, says Rashi towards the end, Omer b'arbi psachim, zardes v'smicha l'masa loypchisa mishtein shady. Every one of these zardes and trees was home to two shady, to two evil demons. That being the case, says the Gemara, if she went and put the basket with the child in such a tree, smicha l'masa, right next to the town, where everybody knows that there are the shindalits rain, yesh m'shem asufi, she doesn't care what happens to the child. It's a sufi. The imlav, however, if it wasn't smicha l'masa, it was a sorb tree somewhere else in the middle of the town, eva m'shem asufi, that is not a problem. You have two types of shuls. You have shuls which are close to the town, and you have shuls which are far away from the town. So those which are close to the town, shchichim be'rabim, people are constantly coming and going. There are many minyanim, a lot of tourists, poor people, shnaris. It's a busy place. Anyway, mishem asufi. The reason why she placed the asufi there in that shul is because she figured someone will have rachmanis on this child and will take him or her into their home. So it's not a sufi. However, if it happens in the base Knesset, which is far away from the town, and maybe they only have a minyan on Shabbos or something like that, or maybe only one minyan Shachris in the morning, but then there's a good likelihood that nobody's going to find this a Sufi until it's too late. Then, Himlav Yesh Mishim Asufi. Omer Meimer, Hay Peter de Sufli Yesh Mishim Asufi. Peter de Sufli, says Rashi, is that was an indentation, like a crevice in the ground, where they used to go and put food for machal behemoth. So now, if a person were to go and place that asufi inside such a peirid asufi, such a crevice in the ground, like a bar, which is meant for machal behemoth, Rashi says, shchichi mazikin. There are a lot of mazikin that are roaming around that type of area. So yesh b'mishem asufi. Chalufta d'nahara. What happens if they took the baby and put in a basket, and they put the basket inside the normal current of a river, which reminds us of Moshe Rabbeinu, when the mommy put him into the river? Then there's no din of a sufi. Why, says Rashi? Because the Charifta d'Nahara is usually a place where boats and ships are sailing, so they're going to say, hey, look what's there in the water. There happens to be a little baby that's crying inside the basket. No, bring the baby in. So they bring Moshe Masufi. However, if you put the baby into Pshari means snow that has melted, yesh by mishum asufi, because Rashi says none of the boats and none of the ships sail in that area. Probably the reason why they don't sail is because it's not a permanent waterway. It's only during those months when there's a lot of snow and it melts and now there's some water there, so it's not a place where people typically boat or typically sail. So yesh by mishum asufi. Tzinur shesaram, somebody put the asufi on the side of the shisram, like on the sidewalk, Eibay Mishem Asufi, because the people are going to go by and say, oh, there's a baby. Rishi Saram, if you put it smack in the middle of the Rishi Saram, in the middle of 42nd Street, Times Square, where there are cars constantly going back and forth, it doesn't have to be Times Square, it could be here on West End Avenue, and the cars are going red light, green light, Mekim to Megait, and they're going quickly. Rishi Saram, Yesh Mishem Asufi, because it's really dangerous for a little baby to be there. It's dangerous to be in a car, dangerous to be on a scooter going down those streets. So Alachas Kamakam, a little baby inside a basket on the floor in the Rishi Saram, that's dangerous. If you're talking about during years of famine, then there's no din of a sufi. Why? This far is very simple, because it could be that this is a totally legit child, and the parents just couldn't afford to keep this child at home because they didn't have enough funds, they didn't have enough food. So now the Gemara wants to know, this Omer Rava, Hod Rava Ahai. Rava apparently is referring to one of these earlier cases that we enumerated. Which case is he referring to? So let's go at the very end. We talked about the Rishi Sarab. Ilema Rishi Sarabin, is he saying that if you find a child in the Rishi Sarabin and Shnei Ra'ovin, you don't have to worry about a Sufi? Just because the Shnei Ra'ovin and these parents can't afford to hold this child, they chas v'shalom, they give him the Misa, meaning that they go and put him in the middle of the Rishi Sarabin, at the very least they would put him on the Tzid Rishi Sarabin. Then we must be talking about a Tzid Rishi Sarabin. That's where they placed him. And Shnei Ra'ovin says, Rabbi, then you don't have to worry. It's not an Asufi, it's not a Mamsa. My Iri is Shnei Ra'ovin, I feel below Shnei Ra'ovin. So why does he talk about that it's Shnei Ra'ovin? We just said, even if it's not a normal year where there's Baruch Hashem, a lot of food, a lot of money going around, it's not a problem. We said, but Tzidur Shis Rabbim, Ein Boi Mishim Asufi. So why is Rabbi adding Shnei Ra'ovin, Ein Boi Mishim Asufi? Elikiyat Madarabaha. Rav is really not referring to those aforementioned cases, but rather to the following. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Yehuda Bar Zavdi Amar Rav, Kol Zman Shebeshuk, Ove V'imay Nemanim Olav, Nesav Meneshuk, Ein Nemanim Olav. What happens if you find there's a child that's never Beshuk? Beshuk means out in the marketplace. People are coming and going, buying stuff in the market, and they see on the floor, there's never an abandoned child over there. So now, as long as the child is still on the floor and nobody's picked him up yet, if a husband and wife come over and say, that's our child, and they pick him up, then they have their manas. It's like a pesha asa, pesha inter. They put him down apparently like 5 minutes ago. Nobody has had a chance yet to focus on the child to pick it up. They pick it up, then manamulav. But then some of the shuk, if already somebody else collected, the police came and they took the child into the police station. They ain't no mother will love. Then there's no mothers because it could be anybody. My taima, Amarabahuviyatsalovshemasufi. Once he was branded a Sufi, he remains in a Sufi. However, even if somebody has collected the child and taken to the police station, of the if the father and mother come and say, we did a real bad boo-boo, we left this child in the shuk, we shouldn't have done that, we believe them, because Shnei Ra'avayin, people are desperate and they make mistakes like that, and they leave their child, their children, nebuch, in the shuk, because they don't have enough money to pay for it. Amr of Chizda, Shloish Ne'manim Le'alter, there are three that are believed, but take it from the out immediately. Not, you know, not 5 minutes later, not an hour later, not a year later. On the spot. Elohei, Asufi Chaya Upeteres Chavrisel. Asufi Adyamar, the Asufi that we just said now, that the child is there in the street, and if within a minute, two, three, four, five, whatever, very shortly thereafter, a man and wife come and say, this is our child, before it was Ne'asaf Meneshuk, Ne'manim Olaf. That's number one, which we just said now. Chaya is referring to a midwife, like we have a nurse in the hospital in the labor room. The sign of the midwife, Chaya Nemenes Leim is a Yotzerish, but a Yotzershein. What happens if a mommy just gave birth to identical twins? We don't know which one is the older, which one is the younger. The midwife is believed to say this one is the older, this one is the younger. However, the medical room shali Yotzer of that she didn't leave the nursery, she didn't leave the labor room and return. If she left for a minute and came back, unless she tagged the two children, since they are identical, she thinks, oh, the one on the right is the older, one on the left is the younger, but since she went out and she came back, she might be mistaken, and this might be the younger, and that might be the older. Reb Lezer said something very similar. If she has a chazak, that she stood on her position, in other words, she didn't move around, she stayed there, nemenes. However, she walked around, ate in a minute. So Frank Timon might be now. They're both saying the same thing. He said that she left the room, and here it says that she turned around. The Nafkimina would be that she stuck is still in the same room. However, she turned around for a minute to bring a diaper, to go and bring a rag, to go and clean the kid, or whatever it happens to be. Even so, once she turns around. So according to the first man, the Omar, she only loses her nemonis if she leaves the room totally. If she's yotze, right? If what was the lashon dvar meun shelo yotzes of a chazer, she leaves the room, then it's not in a mess. But if she's still in the same room, she just turned around for a second to pick up a diaper or whatever, then she's never. According to the second one, the Amar Lezer said, no, she had to be standing there the whole time, focusing on these babies, so she can say with 100% certainty, yeah, the one on the right was the one that came out first, the one on the left is the one that came out second. We're being metapel. Of course, eventually they're going to put on these name tags, but in the meantime, if she was watching the kids all the time, then she has nemanes. Now, what's the third? This is now talking about a shaila of who is a nida. Mayi, what's that case? Now, we learned the Maseches Nida. Sholish noshim she yishem is b'mita achas. You have three women that were lying together in the same bed, and Rashi says in Maseches Nida, it says they weren't, you know, it wasn't one of these giant size, king size beds. It was a rather narrow bed, and therefore mishulavos udvukos zubazu. Nebuch, the three were very close to one another. Nebuch, like in the concentration camps, where they dumped three, four, five people in one bunker bed, all lying next to each other, rahman al-islam. And what happened? They wake up in the morning, and they see that there is a kesem of blood on the sheet. Shalish Nosh Yeshemit Mitachas, Vinim Tadam Tachas Achas Mehem, Kulim Tameis, even though the Dam was on the left side as opposed to the right side. But since all three of them were Dvukois, they were all basically attached as one, so it could be from the right lady, and then somehow she turned over in the middle of the night, and the blood is there. However, Baka Achas Mehem, Vinim Tis Tameya, what happens if one of the three did a Bedika on herself, and she finds, oh, I'm the Tameya? Then we will allocate that blood. We'll say that that belongs to the first one that was just boivik and not to the other two. The other two will have a chesed time. Amar Rav Chisda, Shibank Asma Gishir Vest. Oh, like we just said, now it's got to be taken from the out. Shir Vest over here doesn't mean like a vest is kavu of 30 days. As you know, in Maseches Nida, the Gemara used the term vest very often to mean taken from the out. Usually that Shir Vest is usually right after a beer. Did he have blood? Did she have blood? So it's taken from the other. If she's boidic or he's boidic, then you can go and eliminate the possibility that the other one saw blood. See here too. As soon as they realize there's a kesset, one of the ladies said, let me check. And she does a bedik and she finds blood, then you can go and allocate and attribute that blood to her. But if it's an hour later or something, maybe even two of them have blood. After all, you can have multiple women that are needed at the same time. Tanurban.
The kashir veset.
Kashir vest means take it from the act. One, two, three.
Why is a veset usually is your
veset kavua? Veset shenik kavua. 30 days later, 20 days later.
Here we're using it as
100%. Not only here in Maseches Nida, we have very often. If you want to take a look at the Rashi is still from the narrow lines. Kashir vest, three lines. La'acher mitzias. La'acha metziah, right after the metziah, miyad, immediately. Maseches Nida, mafarish shir vest, means she'oymed hu hakinuach, that's the eid kinuach. Eid over here doesn't mean a witness. It means the bedika cloth, the tzad ha-mashkid, right close, ve'ne mechusar el lekaneach miyad. In other words, she's lying in bed, right on the windowsill with something right next to the bed. There happens to be one of these pekla of a bunch of little
bedika cloth,
shkayach, and she's able to immediately go and stretch out her hand, take the bedika cloth, and do it immediately. Not that she has to get up and run around, go to the other room, and da-da-da. No, it's right next to her. That's the lotion of shir vest.
Osiel,
yeah, very good. Zog Timorvai. Tanurban, another shtickle related to this chayim. Tanurban, nemen es chayim loyman. This is a nursery where, Baruch Hashem, you have a lot of kids from a lot of backgrounds. And now that day, at least four kids were born, and the chayy says, "Zeh koyin, this is born to the koyin, zeh lady, zeh nothing, zeh mamzer." She's believed. The man who removes shloim kora aleh shem irer. If nobody protests, nobody challenges her, she's believed. Of a kora aleh irer. If there's a challenge, ain't a man. She's not automatically believed. Now the question is, how do you define the word challenge? Ir demai, ilim ir chad. One person said, "I don't think so. I don't think that's the koyin. I think the koyin is the other guy." And you have an ear, it's got to be at least two. One person that's Kurdish. Al ear tray. We're talking two people. If two people come in, we say, sorry, we don't think you're right. We think that the right one is the mamzer and the left one is the koyun and vice versa. Ear tray, we don't automatically support her, only if there's no challenge. Even there's one ear. If there's already a chazaka from before, and now people are challenging that chazaka, then you have to have two. Over here, I have no idea which one. I mean, this is they were just born 5 minutes ago. And she says, it's the coin, it's the lady, they don't have a chazak of kashrus. So chadnamiyam, and if one person comes in and says, no, I think you're wrong, then you have to listen to that challenge. So the chai doesn't have an automatic invincibility. It depends on whether the challenge. Yes, Rabbi.
We are talking about the ages of women here or the ages of men?
It doesn't say, I would think probably even women too, because it doesn't use the expression of Adam. Yes, apparently the ear refers to any challenge. We're just going to finish another few lines to finish off the braisa. It shouldn't say in machati, the side changes. A person who sold ichbais, the marshal, a chair. He's selling a chair to a person, and two people come and say he sold it to us. And the balamekach means the moicher. He's believed to say, no, I didn't sell it to the second guy. I only sold it to the first guy. The medvar mamon, when does he believe his man shemek of yad? He's still holding on to the chair. If, however, he already delivered the goods to the loikeach, because now he doesn't care. Now, as long as the chair was still in his rishus, he wants to make sure he does the deal and that the deal consummates and it's closed, fine. And therefore he wants to know who the lekeach is. But once he delivered the goods, he says, I don't care, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, you guys fight it out, I don't know, I don't remember, but I don't know. Why don't we just go and check whose credit card he charged or who gave him the check, and then we'll know who was the lekeach. In fact, he got money from both of them. How can you get money from both of them? One of them paid because he was a legitimate lekeach. I negotiated a price and he paid me. The other guy forced the money upon me for the idea, and I don't remember today. I don't recall who was the one that gave it nicely and graciously and who the one that forced it upon me. So I don't know. Just like you have by the moicher, you have neman dayin loyver. Lezechi so lezechi yavti. There was a plaintiff and a defendant in court, Reuben and Shimon. The case now closed. We asked the dayin who was the one that was zocher and who was mechayiv. He said, "What do you mean? Reuben was the one that won the case, and Shimon lost the case." The madman Mamurim, when does he believe Shabali dinam oim lefanav, that they're still there in the courtroom? We believe. If everybody went home already, because maybe he's going to confuse them. We're talking about a dayan that doesn't necessarily know Reuben and Shimon personally. They just appeared in front of him, and so therefore he may make a mistake. Who's the one that was guilty? Who's innocent? Does Reuben owe money to Shimon? Does Shimon owe money to Reuben? So once they've left the courtroom and he doesn't see them anymore, let's go and find who's holding on to the psak din, or who's holding on to the earlier evidence that caused one of them to be found innocent or guilty. In other words, let's look at the document so we'll see clearly who is there. It's Rikad the Kriyat Zechusayim. It's talking about a situation where all the papers, all the documents were all burned, they were all lost, so therefore you can no longer bring riots from the documents. So, but he recognizes the faces. As long as they're still there, in the fun of he recognizes. After they've left, you cannot trust them anymore to go and say, Zechiyati or Zechisi. So why don't we just start the din Torah over again? Presumably, the person who was right before will be right now too. It's talking about a situation where there was no clear-cut evidence that Reuben was right and Shimon was wrong, but rather the dayan had to use his discretion. He had to go and smell who's right, who's wrong, who's telling a lie, who's telling the truth. And when it comes to discretion, today on Tuesday or Wednesday, he has discretion in favor of Reuven. But if he would start the din Torah again tomorrow or next week, then his discretion might push him in the other direction. So therefore, you cannot rely on that. Stop over here, Abayisai, to be continued tomorrow. Thank you all for listening. Hatzlacha Rabba Kol Tov.